And so tonight we want to look in Mark chapter 1. We want to read one verse of scripture, make a few comments tonight, and then I know many of you are tired and there's just been a lot going on, but we want to just spend just a little while. And this subject is something that's near and dear to my heart. I'll read the verse and then I'll tell you this story that has that really changed, prayer changes things. I truly believe that. And so I want to tell you a testimony tonight, but let's read Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The Bible says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." And so the title to our message tonight is The Secret Place of Prayer. The Secret Place of Prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to meet together tonight. We thank you for all those that are here. We thank you for those that are watching, those that will be watching. And Lord, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us. Many times, Lord, we ask you for things, but we never want to be guilty of not thanking you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for being concerned about us, that we can cast our care upon you because you care for us. And so, Father, we know that there's many requests of prayer. We know that there's many hearts that are troubled in different ways. But Lord, we also know that we can call upon you. So Father, I pray that you help us tonight for just a little while. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prayer is very dear to me, and as it is to many of you. I could give you testimony after testimony of times that God has answered prayers, of situations that you didn't know what to do. When we had left here to go pastor Manna, a Baptist church at the time, I was working in Charlotte. And so, Darla and I, and I believe Scott, had gone to Kerwin Baptist Church to a revival, and Dr. Ralph Sexton was doing the preaching then. And he was preaching, and I don't remember everything that was said, but he was talking about people's lives. He was talking about different hindrances in people's lives and just different things. And so I was really struggling with where I was working in Charlotte, and it was a long drive every day, but that's what I had before us. And so, I was really struggling with what to do. And so on that night, he looked straight out into the congregation and said, "Someone here needs to get out of Charlotte." True story. Darla fell over, and I was right on top of her. But he did, and then he went on preaching. And so at that point, I thought, okay, Lord, but I didn't know what to do. I knew that, you can't get any more direct than that. Sometimes we say, "God, I just wish you'd tell me what to do." he said it, but I didn't know what to do. So then I started reading in the book of Daniel. And Daniel had some obstacles, some prayer that needed to be answered. And he needed some things to happen in his life. And so in the scripture, I believe it's in Daniel chapter 10, in the scripture he said, he chose to fast and he chose to, not take of any meat, only fruits and vegetables. And he prayed for, I believe it was 21 days. I believe I'm right, but he prayed for 21 days, and on the 24th day or somewhere around that, just don't quote me on that as far as holding me to that, because it's been a while since I've read in that passage, but on the 24th day, God answered his prayer. And so when somebody gives you a direct, well, let me not say somebody, when God gives you a direct command, and you don't know how it's going to be accomplished, then the only thing you know to do is pray. And so I began to pray, and I began to follow Daniel's, what Daniel did. And there was some times I would go back and forth to Charlotte, and I would just pray. And so, you know, this went on for 21 days. And so on the 21st day, I had decided, well, Lord, you didn't open a door for me. You didn't answer the request. So I guess that means that I need to stay. Even though what was said in that service. And so one morning, on the 24th day, I was riding in and my boss calls me and I was driving down the road and I had just about got into Charlotte and my boss calls me and he says, "Do you want to get out of Charlotte?" And I mean, I don't know which lane I was in, really. I mean, when he said that. And he said, "Give me just a few days, a week or so, and let me work it out, and I will get you out of Charlotte." And that's just how God does things.
Amen.
God answers prayer. We sometimes try to rush him. We sometimes think we already know the answer. But in this situation, by way of testimony, I didn't know. I didn't know how it was going to work out. I didn't know, any of that. I just knew that I needed to pray. And so Jesus himself found a solitary place to pray. So tonight, for just a little while, I want us to consider that secret place of prayer. I hear so many times in talking to people, "Will you pray for me?" I hear things like, "Will you pray for this problem?" Or, "Will you pray for that problem?" I'll hear things like, "This person needs prayer." I'll hear things like, "She needs prayer." And I think we would all agree tonight that prayer is needful. I also think that we would agree tonight that prayer is essential, and I believe that prayer is important. The greatest teacher in the world tells us how important prayer is. And so there's no greater example than Jesus Christ himself for us to be followers of this verse, and for us to be followers of finding that place to pray. So there's a few things I want us to notice tonight, and the first thing is, he took time to pray. So if we're going to follow any example, if we're going to follow any person that knows how to do things and knows how to do them right, then it is none other than Jesus Christ. So it's very easy tonight for us to, just from this verse where it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." So these are just some simple thoughts tonight, and then we're just going to spend a little time here when we're talking about prayer. But first, he took time to pray. Now we think to our minds, well, that's not very hard to do. But if we're honest with ourselves, how hard is it? Because there's a lot of things that happen in our life where we are busy people. There's always something that we have to do, or there's always something that we need to do, or there's a lot of distractions out there, but we think of taking time to pray and I'm not talking about praying over a meal, but I'm talking about prayer where you're communicating with the Lord. I'm talking about not just, you know, I'm not talking about, being real eloquent with our words and those type of things, or even something that's quick, because God knows our heart anyway. If I was to walk out in front of a car and I saw the car, then I wouldn't give a prayer that says, "Our Heavenly Father, please help me." But I would say, "Help me." And God would know. You know what I'm saying? So there's different types of prayer, but the essential part is that we take time to pray. We take time to stop what we're doing, or at least in that solitary place, that we take time to pray. That's where it begins. So Jesus himself gives the example of that solitary place that he takes and he prays. So he took time to pray, and then next, the time he took, he prayed. There has been times, I gave you an example of how God answered a prayer in my life that was very essential, but I'll also give you an example, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many times have you been praying, especially when you go to bed at night, and you fall asleep? That's okay. Because who better to talk to before you go to sleep than the Lord? But is that spending time with Him? Because there, as I said before, there's different types of prayer. But I'm talking about setting time aside in our life, whenever it is, and it's going to be different for people based upon their circumstances and based upon their life. In this case, Jesus rose early in the morning. And it says a great while before day that he prayed. But the important thing is that we take time to pray. So that's two essential things. He took time to pray and that he found time to pray. So it says rising up a great while before day, which means he made that a priority or the first thing in his life. Now, there's a lot of different things that go on that people say, and especially on social media, how many of you have to have a cup of coffee before you wake up in the morning? I mean, really wake up, several of you. Well, there's sometimes I'll see in these different social media, different posts and saying, "You don't want to talk to me until I drink coffee." Well, all I'm saying is give the Lord your best.
Amen.
When it comes to, and if it's after a cup of coffee, the Lord knows your heart anyway. But the important thing is, give the Lord your best. Whatever time of day that is in your life, whatever time that you can find time with Him, and it's going to be different for everyone, but give Him your best when it comes to prayer. We can pray all through the day, and there's been times in my life that I've done that. I've prayed I've prayed a short prayer, or I've prayed a long prayer, I've prayed going down the road with my eyes open, but there's been times that we prayed, but there's also been times that I've said, "I need to get along with God." There's a lady that I used to know. I haven't seen her in years, but there's a lady that I used to know, and she was going through some difficult times in her life, and her husband was sick, and there were some things that were happening in her life, and she used to tell me, and I would tell her, I would say, "I'm praying for you," or "I'm praying over that situation," and she said, "Well, you know what, I just need to go talk to God about it." And that's what prayer is. He already knows our heart anyway. Why not open our heart to Him? He already knows. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.'" So there was actually a desire in his followers' lives that says, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." The disciples asked Jesus to teach how to pray. Now, I'm not going to take time to read the verses. But you can read them, and this, there was a lot of events that took place between, in our passage, this evening in Mark. There's a lot of things that took place from verse 21 to 34, but I just want to show you that Jesus was very busy. He was very busy with his life. Jesus had cast, in this passage, in these verses, Jesus had cast out demons. Jesus had healed of the fever, one that was healed of the fever. He healed many sick and cast out devils. So there was a lot that was going on during that time period, but he wasn't too busy to pray. He wasn't too busy to pray. How was he able to do the things that he did? Well, first thing we say, well, he was God. I mean, and we know that. But why was it so important that he showed the importance of prayer? Why was it that the disciples had that desire? Because they saw how the prayer changed things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with giving a testimony, of how, God answered this prayer. I keep bringing it up. I guess I brought it up for three services now. But some of you that go to this church and read our prayer list, some of you took time to pray for Ronnie Holcomb and pray for his salvation. And God answered that prayer.
Amen.
You see, that's what prayer does. You know, we have our prayer list, and I'm thankful for our prayer list, and I'm thankful that we can lift up these names, even though we may not know who they are, but I'm thankful that we can do that. But the important thing is that we pray and that we spend time praying. He had work to be done, or he had work to do. There was work that had to be done. He had a divine mission from the Father, meaning Jesus. He had a divine mission from the Father. He was also committed to the Father's business. So there's two things. He had a divine mission, and we know what that mission was, as far as the cross is concerned. But he also was committed to his Father's business. When he was praying and he was asking, and I'm not going to try to quote it, but when he was praying and saying, Lord, if thy will passes, take this cup from me. And then he goes on to say, but not my will, but thine. That's him praying. That's him praying, talking to the Father. And many times it seems we have more tasks and more jobs and more activities in our lives than we've ever had before. We are very busy people, there's no question. We are very busy people. How do we get our strength? Through prayer. That's how we get our strength. God's going to answer our prayers accordingly, but sometimes we just need to pray for strength. We need to pray for help. They had work to do, and therefore prayer was needed. I've already made mention that he had a divine work. Jesus was here for a purpose and for a reason. And he knew and he understood what that divine work was. But he also had a daily work. You know, we all have daily things and daily activities and daily objectives and daily chores and daily obligations and all those things. How can we accomplish those things and be successful is what we do without prayer? I don't think there's anything wrong with praying at our jobs or at, if we're out visiting someone or trying to help someone or if we're, if we have something that we need to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with praying about it because God tells us to cast our care upon him for he cares for us. Serving the Lord is not part-time. I know that we all have obligations, and myself included. But serving the Lord is not part-time, but serving the Lord really is full-time. Full-time in whatever it is that we're doing. It's easy to have a lot of daily activities, but that's why we need to pray. And that's why prayer is so important. And let me tell you this, Satan has so many things out there. that will pull us away, distract us in our lives, and try to clutter our minds. He is a master of deception. He is a master of understanding what's going to cause us harm and distraction. And therefore, we need to pray. Our daily walk needs prayer. He also had a demanding work, just like we do. We have demands on our life that we have to do. In reading the Gospels, we can see that his work was very demanding. If you look at all the things that he accomplished, and we're using Jesus as an example, obviously, but if you look at all the things that's accomplished, and in the midst of those things, you'll see in the scripture where he prayed. Where he prayed. There are many casualties in a Christian's life. There are many casualties. Many stop serving the Lord. Many go wayward. And many lose interest. And I've often wondered why that happens. I've often wondered, and I know individuals that one time served the Lord, and the old saying goes, and I hadn't heard it in a while, but the old saying goes, they're on fire for the Lord, and then all of a sudden, it just kind of fizzles over a period of time. And I wonder, you know, we could say, well, there's a temptation, or we could say this distraction, that distraction, but I wonder if they had the prayer life they needed to be successful in their life. You know, it's easy to blame this or blame that. It's easy to say there's temptations out there, and it's easy to say, that this happened in their life. But I still wonder, did they pray? Did they make prayer a vital part in their life? You know, even reacting to things, to life itself. How do we react to life itself? And we're all guilty of maybe reacting, maybe not in quite as positive of a way that we need to. And I wonder, is it because of the lack of prayer? Jesus rose up early in the morning and he prayed. But the other thing I want to make mention is the fact that he had a solitary place. The Bible says that solitary place. And I think that solitary place is essential. I think it's essential for a healthy prayer life. And it might be different. It might be different from, some people can sit at their kitchen table and spend time to do. Others don't have that opportunity. It just all depends on where your life is and what your life's doing. But the important thing is that we find that solitary place to pray, wherever that may be. The Bible talks about a closet, finding that closet. Well, some might not want to get in their closet. But the important thing is that we have that place.
Amen.
And that solitary place, I think of a solitary place of a place of no distractions. And you can rest assured, when you begin to pray, and you start talking to the Lord, then all of a sudden something's going to come to your mind and say, oh, I forgot to do this today. Or, oh, I've got to do this when I get done praying. Or, I got to make this phone call, or I've got to do that. Or, when it comes to a solitary place to pray, that means your focus and my focus should be on the Lord. Your focus and my focus should be on the Lord. In spite of this busy time before him meeting Jesus, he was never too busy to pray. He took time to pray, and in Mark chapter 6, verse 46, the Bible says, and when he had sent them away, see, here he goes. He sends them, he sends the disciples, he sends his followers, away. He sends them to the other side. And it says, and when he sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. I wonder sometimes, and we've actually brought some messages in the past in this passage, and it talks about the storm, and it talks about how that the storms approached and all those things, and he had told them what to do, and he come walking on the sea. But I want us to back up just a minute. And I wonder, although he was teaching them things and he was showing them who he was, but I also wonder sometimes if he didn't send them away because he needed to pray. That solitary place. This was a practice in his life. A practice in his life that he prayed. Daniel took time to pray, and I shared with you that wasn't the only time, but in Daniel chapter 10. But Daniel took time to pray, and in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," and this was, and if you know the story of the Daniel in the lion's den, we won't take time to talk about it too much, but he was ultimately told that he couldn't pray anymore. He couldn't pray to the Lord anymore. And there was a decree that was signed. But what did Daniel do? In verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened, and kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done aforetime." In other words, that decree did not stop him from praying. There's a lot of obstacles out there that can try to stop us from praying. But I hope tonight that prayer is understood to be essential in our life. Jesus withdrew himself to pray. Jesus found him a place to pray, a solitary place. He took time to pray. So that's 3 things. He withdrew himself, he found a place, and he took time to pray. 3 simple but complex steps when you talk about our busy lives. We can pray while we're doing our dishes. We can pray while we're making our beds. We can pray while we're driving down the road. We can pray while we're mowing our yard. You know, some of my favorite times is going out mowing, because I just enjoy, when I've got a lot of things on my mind, I look to see if my yard needs mowing. That's just a time that I set aside that I pray. We can pray while we're doing our chores, but the important thing is that we find a place to pray. And then lastly tonight, speaking of Jesus, he had a purpose in prayer. And if we can't think of any other reason, I hope that we will remember this. He took time with the Father. He took time with the Father. There is nothing like talking to our Lord. There's nothing like talking to our Lord. We can think about previous things in our life. We can think about future things in our life. But there's no better time to talk to our Lord than in the present. He's worthy. Just simply thanking him. The giver is greater than the gift. The giver is greater than the gift. When we pray and God answers our prayer, and he answers in a mighty way, just like it was in that situation that I told you in the beginning, look, God had to do that. And yes, he brought me out of Charlotte, and yes, he answered prayer. That was a gift. But as great as that gift was, it was not greater than the giver. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together and how essential prayer is in our lives. Lord, we all have busy lives. We all have things that's happening in our lives. We all have burdens. We all have obstacles. We all have all these things. But help us, Lord, tonight to realize how important prayer is. And how that Jesus himself gave us the prime example of prayer. Father, I pray as we have this invitation that, Lord, you will, if you've spoken to a heart, Lord, I pray that they'll spend time with you and just talk to you. Lord, I guess sometime in our life we've all been guilty of letting things come in the way. But help us, Lord, to decide tonight that I know how important it is to pray and spend time with you. And Lord, we thank you for all things that are accomplished. And Lord, I pray that you help us tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.